Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Good to see each and every one of you. Let's just stand and go to the Lord in prayer. And then after that, we'll turn to page 203, sing our congregational song tonight. Have a request of prayer tonight. Just let it be known by the lifting of your hand. The God that we serve knows, understands each and every prayer request. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your goodness, for your grace, for your abounding love. God, for this day and this opportunity, God, to come into your house to worship tonight. Thank you for those who have gathered here tonight and those who may be viewing by live stream. Father, we pray your will be done tonight through every part of this service. God, every word spoken, every song sung, let it be for your honor and for your glory. Father, we do remember those who are sick, many are afflicted, and Father, we pray, God, that you would reach out with your healing hand, Lord, and touch and anoint them tonight. God, Lord, we pray, God, too, that you would heal our land, bless those who are in the horrific situation there in Texas. Father, I pray, God, that you would comfort those families tonight. God, just reach down and just get in tender mercy care, Lord. Just love them and thank them tonight, God. Lord, and we pray tonight your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's turn to page 203. Sing, someday, someday our trials here will cease. All will be wonderful when we get to that glorious place that Jesus has prepared. My trials here on earth will cease someday, someday. What a good promise, amen, to know that we'll be able to live with our Lord someday, forever and ever. God bless you again. Good to see each and every one of you. We may receive our Sunday or our Wednesday evening offering tonight. I'm kind of jumping ahead. But the Wednesday offering does go to our Good Samaritan Fund. That's one that's a benevolence fund that has helped in many, many situations. So you give as the Lord lays it on your heart tonight. Brother Jim, ask the Lord's blessing on this offering tonight, if you would. Man. Thank you. y'all will bear with me tonight. I don't normally do all the preliminaries, but Brother Jim and Sister Elaine are up in the mountains enjoying some R&R, and we send our love out to them and hope they're having a wonderful time. Hopefully the weather's better up there than it has been here today. But we're just going to carry on, and we're going to worship the Lord tonight. Sister Susan, would you come and start our special singing off tonight? Amen. You pray for our singers as they come forward tonight.
Well, I just want to say I am so thankful and I'm so blessed. If y'all are thankful and blessed, just praise the Lord. Because I think about this song, had it not been, where would we be without Jesus and what he did for us on the cross? Y'all worship the Lord. Just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. I'm so glad he never called heaven's angels. From my hands, pull these nails that torment me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost.
Had it not been for Jesus, amen. All right, Sister Karen, come on and get a song ready. Brother Jim, you come on up, get your song ready. And then Sister Tabitha, y'all can come on up, and we'll just have one song right after another, amen.
He caught me off guard. Instant and see. Okay, I have to be instant. As small as I am, Lord in heaven above, why'd you pick me to love? Why you love me, I can't understand. For there are others more worthy of Jesus than me. Yet you love me as small as I am. And sometimes wipes off my sins, puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me as small as I am. Well, I'm nobody special. I'm no ruler or king. This old world, it doesn't know. Jesus walks right beside me. He fights my battles and He guides me. Yes, He loves me as small as I am. And sometimes it's hard to walk in His footsteps, but if I stumble, He understands. He picks me up, wipes off my sins, puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me as small as I am. He picks me up, wipes off my sins, puts me on my feet again. Oh yes, He loves me as small as I am.
Yes, He does.
God is good. I heard two blessings, one yesterday and one today. A good friend of ours in Texas had a bad report on Monday morning, and then trying around Monday afternoon, the report was reversed. And then I just heard another one that I knew Sunday. I just knew Sunday, brother, it was going to be good. On Brother Chris. Amen? Amen.
I saw the marks of shame. shame and wept and cried. He was my substitute. For me he died, and now I'm glad he came so tenderly and washed my eyes with tears that I might see. And washed my eyes with tears that I might see.
Going to say before I sing, today was my day to volunteer at the pregnancy center, and it was my first day in Tallapoosa because that's where I'm going to be volunteering at. It was a good day, and I'm enjoying that already. But I was there all day, so I couldn't really communicate with Chris, but he got a good report from the doctor today. They said that there is no cancer. So,
thank God.
We're thankful for that. The little area that they were concerned about was probably where he had the surgery before and the drain tube was placed. But they said it was smaller this time than it was a month ago. So he has to see a vascular surgeon on Friday with his leg so we can see why it's swelling. But I'm just thankful. There's no cancer. There's nothing that God can't take care of. Amen. Y'all worship with me tonight.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus, he came to love, heal and forgive, he lived and died to buy my pardon. My Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's fight, oh, war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know He lives because He lives. I can face tomorrow.
Whatever tomorrow brings, we know that we can face it because we're not facing it alone. Amen. Join with me and let's welcome Brother Matthew. I believe this is his first time, a visitor, so we're so thankful. Really hope you feel the love of God and hope you feel the love of the saints of God as well. And just make yourself right at church tonight. If you have your Bibles, we're going to the book of Psalms tonight in the 31st Psalm. And then we're probably going to end up in Jeremiah. And I promise not to preach all the way through Psalms to Jeremiah. We'll just take some excerpts from each one. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. In the 31st Psalm, a Psalm of David, David writes in the first verse, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock. For an house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For Thou art my strength. Into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." Verse 5 again, "Into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, again, Lord, as we come to You, what an honor and a privilege it is, God, to be able to speak to You tonight, and God, have You to speak to us. Father, I pray tonight, God, that You would just anoint these lips of clay, use this vessel, God, speak to us tonight, that You would have us to hear, that we'll be submissive and obedient to Your word and to Your will. Father, again, we do remember those, many who are sick and afflicted. Father, we remember the lost and the unsaved tonight. And Father, I pray for a mighty revival, God, that You would bring lost souls to the kingdom of God. Lord, and I pray, God, that You would just let those people know that You're a God of love and that we love them, God, and we want them to come and repent, be baptized, Lord, and receive that Holy Spirit, God, and we'll be so careful to give You the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Did I hear somebody say that God is good? Amen. God is good all the time. Tonight, if I had a message title or a topic, it would be simply, "In God's Hands." In God's Hands. Many times we've had that reference or heard that reference where it's in God's hand. If we will place it in God's hand by faith and trust, then we can believe that God's going to take care of that situation, whatever that situation may be, whether it be sickness, affliction, problems that we may face, we know that when we release it into God's hands, that God is going to take care of it. But David here is talking about being in the hands of God and having God have control of his life. And how many knows when we surrender our life or our soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, what we're doing, we're surrendering our will to his will and let him not only be our Savior, but be the Lord of our life as well. So David touches on some things here that goes hand in hand with being in the hands of God. First of all, we think about security, think about safety most of the time to be in God's hands and know that whatever we may face, whether it be trouble, persecution, trials, or whatever the situation may be, we know that we can find peace and solace in the hands of God. But David talks about some other things that go hand in hand with being in the hands of an almighty God. First of all, he talks about deliverance. And how many is tonight thankful for deliverance? You know, God is a God of deliverance, and I'm so glad that he delivered me. I'm so glad that, first of all, that he convicted my lifestyle. I'm thankful that he convicted my heart, amen, and gave me opportunity and that invitation to come and give my life to him, and not only give my life to him, but ask him to come into my life to save me, to wash away my sins with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and deliver me from the lifestyle that I was living, deliver me from the sin debt that I had amounted in my life. And then the second thing that he talks about is righteousness. And basically that means the righteousness of God. You know, the Bible refers to man's righteousness and refers to it and says it's as filthy rags, meaning that our righteousness without God is not going to amount anything. We can try to do the best that we can. We can live as good a life as we possibly can, be good to our neighbor, be good to our boss, and all of those wonderful things. And that's good things to do. Those are good characteristics and accolades. But we can do all those things and still not be saved, still not have the righteousness of the Lord. We could be a good moral person, but until Jesus Christ comes in and lives within us, that's what causes the righteousness and the goodness of our life. David realized that his life alone was not righteous, but as long as he put his faith and trust in God, and symbolically he says, in the hands of God, I commit my spirit. In other words, I am relinquishing, I'm surrendering, I'm giving God, amen, to be my deliverer and the one that produces righteousness within my life. Another one he mentions is strength. I mean, he knows that the Bible said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. Power to stand, strength, amen, to withstand the burdens, the problems, and the trials that we encounter on a daily basis. And know that no matter what we face in this world, and how many knows we're facing a lot of things right now in this world, but we're never facing them alone. That's what gives me comfort in knowing. If I had to face what is going on in the world today by myself or in my own might or in my own intellect, I would probably be a basket case. But I found out that God is someone who will never leave us nor forsake us. In fact, he will be with us always, and he'll be with us through every temptation, every trial. So he gives us strength to stand, even when we're so weak. In fact, I find out when my flesh is weak, that's when my spirit is strong. Sometimes we don't like trials, and we don't like burdens, and we don't like hardships. But I've found out in many, many years, so many times, those are the times that I'm seemingly stronger in my spirit because I don't depend on myself, I don't depend on my ability, but I depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that my life is in his hands, and I'm thankful for that. He also talks about in giving or relinquishing our spirit unto God and placing our life, basically is what he's talking about, into the hands of Almighty God. We're giving him charge of our life to lead us and to guide us and direct us. But he also talks about safety. He gives us safety. And many, many years ago, a good brother, elder in the church, and you know, when anybody would mention the word storms or inclement weather or any kind of thing that you heard on the weather or the news, you know, he would always say the same thing. He said, you know what, I'm not going to worry. When I go to sleep at night, I put my faith in the Lord. And he said, if the storms come, then so be it. But my faith is in the Lord and not the weatherman. And he lived by that. And too, you know, he said, I'm not going to be alarmed by the storms. And you know what, that's not only physical storms. But that's spiritual storms too. If we can learn, amen, to put our faith and trust in God, we can find safety not only from the inclement weather, amen, but safety from the things that are happening in the world today, and also peace and safety that only a relationship with God can give us. And finally, he talks about leading me and guiding me. So when we commit our spirit to the Lord, in other words, what we're saying is, Lord, you know, no longer do I want to be in charge of my life and making decisions and doing those things. I want to relinquish them unto you. It's often been said, and my mom and my dad lived by this. They never really made a decision unless they asked the Lord's will. That was a financial decision, a physical decision, anything that they did, they prayed about it. And that was instilled into my brother and myself. And then when we came to have a relationship with the Lord, we knew what he was talking about then, because sometimes we make the wrong decisions. Sometimes we make the wrong choices. And it's not because we want to. It's just because we don't know any better and we can't see the future. But when we let the Lord lead us and guide us in every decision that we have to make, whether it's a financial decision or a personal decision or whatever the case may be, if we'll put it in the hands of God, and when we put it in the hands of God, we relinquish it and we call it done. It's almost, you know, I heard somebody say, you know, we'll put more trust in the postal system sometimes than we do our Lord. And, you know, when you put that stamp on that mail, on that piece of mail, and you put it in that slot, chances are you don't worry about it again. You know it's probably going to reach its destination. Oh, that the church could have that much faith when we pray unto the Lord and we release it into his hands and we call it done. Amen. We just know we don't have to follow that mail along. We don't have to see the route that it's taken or the person that's going to drop the mail off. We put the stamp on it and we called it done. If we can have that kind of faith when we pray to the Lord, in the name of Jesus, it's done. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to lose sleep on it. I'm over it about it because I'm going to put it in the hands of the Lord. And the David said, into thy hands I commit my spirit, my soul. That is the most precious thing that we have. All of these worldly things are going to pass away. But that soul of man is going to live forever and ever. And David realized that he needed to let the Lord direct his life and be in charge of his soul. So all of these are wonderful things. And he said, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, of truth. But I want to bring up something tonight that also comes with being in the hands of God. And I was thinking about this today when I was out with Mother and having some time with her when she was eating and all, and she was, every once in a while you could hear some of the words, the clearing words, and she mentioned Charles a couple of times, my dad, who's already gone home to be with the Lord, and she just mentioned a couple of things like that, and it got me to thinking back when we were small and how that as long as Dad was there in the house, we felt secure. And you know, if we had an issue or a problem, we could take it to Dad. And when we shared it with him, we pretty much called it done. You know, putting faith in a natural father is wonderful and it's great. But you know what? We can put our faith in our spiritual father. If we could trust him more so than we do our own parents, amen? And because when we were little like that, you know, Daddy was always, he was there to help me, give me strength, defense, safety, guidance, and all those things. But there's one thing that came to my mind that also comes along with being in the hands of God, and that is correction. Sometimes we don't think about it as being something that's good or wonderful, but it is necessary and it is needful. And just because God chooses to correct us doesn't mean that he's mad at us, doesn't mean he's frustrated with us, but it's the opposite. It means he cares for us and he loves us. Loves us so much that he doesn't want us to err. He doesn't want us to go astray. And so many times we as human beings need that correction. So in keeping that thought tonight in God's hands, I want us to talk a little bit about the correction of God. And I don't believe there's any better place to find that than in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet known as the weeping prophet, when he was writing about the backslidden condition of Israel. Many, many times we talk about it so often that Israel would backslide or go back on the Lord many, many times, and they would repent, and God would love them and help them again and restore them. So we're finding a time when God is speaking to Jeremiah the prophet. And understand, this was before the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. This was when God chose prophets to speak to them so that they could in turn speak to the people and mostly to the children of Israel. That's just where they got their guidance when God spoke to the prophet and the prophet spoke the prophecy that God had given him. So God is speaking to Jeremiah, and he tells him in the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And it starts off in verse 1. Jeremiah writes, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Let me just pause there for just a moment. Sometimes God may speak to us, and it may not make a whole lot of sense to us, because we're listening in a physical ear rather than a spiritual ear. We need to be in tune to God's word. There's a reason God expressly told him to go to the potter's house. And I would imagine as Jeremiah received this direction from God, probably a lot of things went through his mind. What in the world, God, have you got in store for me? Why do you want me to go down there? Can't you speak to me where I am now? And we as people can relate to that sometimes, because we want God to speak to us quickly. We want God to speak to us plainly. And we want to understand and go ahead and receive what God has in store for us. Sometimes God chooses different ways. In fact, God works, the Bible says, even in mysterious ways. Not mysterious to him. He knows exactly what he's doing. It may be mysterious to us. So he tells him to go down to the potter's house. Get up and go down to the potter's house. So Jeremiah, being the good prophet, in verse number 3, said, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." I want you to think with me tonight, if you've ever had an opportunity to sit or to view somebody that's making something out of the potter, the clay. They pick the big hump of clay and they put it down on the wheel and they begin to turn it, and they make it look so easy. I don't know if you've ever tried that. It's not nearly as easy as it looks. Several years ago, we had an opportunity for Trey and Kylie, when they went up to the mountains with us, to make their own cup. And I think they still have that cup. But the lady there that was doing the wheel and all, she was very patient with them and worked with them. And you could just see them having a lot of good fun in that with the mud and all, and making something out of it. But it's not nearly as easy as it looks. And she was there to help them. And so... here goes Jeremiah down to the potter's house, and when he gets down there, the potter is busy making something on the wheel. Again, this is not happenstance. This is not coincidence. This is not by chance. This was the plan of God. So many times when we don't understand where God's taking us, just be patient. God will work a work within you and finally let you know what he's wanting to do in your life. So he's there. And he said, the vessel, in verse number 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Now that's a lot to digest right there spiritually. Because Jeremiah watches him make something, and he makes it, and it's marred. Meaning that probably to Jeremiah, he probably did not detect the imperfection. But to the master that was on the wheel and making the pottery or whatever it was, knew that it wasn't right. There was an imperfection. He said it was marred. It could have been a crack. It could have been, if I would have been making it, it would have been oblong. It'd probably been a mess. Sure enough, but this was a master making it. But in his hands, it was marred. So what did he do? He didn't say, "Oh, it'll work. It'll be all right. Nobody will ever notice it. I'll put some paint on it, and it'll be just as good as it." No, he did not do that. He said he mashed it down, basically. And he made it again as seemed good to the potter to make it. He made it to suit himself. The master made the pottery again. this time without an imperfection. This time it passed his judgment and it passed his inspection, and this time it was made right. Many, many times in history, God has chastised his people. Again, not because he hated them, not because he was so frustrated with them, but because he loved them. And he knew something wasn't right within them. And I can relate to that. There's many times I felt like I was placed back on that potter's wheel. It's not fun to be mashed. It's not fun to be pressed down. But it is productive. It is beneficial. Because when he makes us over again, when he makes us anew, then he makes us at his pleasing unto him. Not what the vessel wants to be. You know, just again, the get with me kind of in your imagination here. And the person that's working with the pottery there, the mud, if he wants to make a bowl, the clay has no word whatsoever on whether he wants to be a bowl or a cup or a dish or anything else. It's what the potter wants it to be. So that's what we need to understand. God, make me what you would have me to be, not what I want to be. I'm going to be mad if you make me this and not make me that. No, it seemed he made it as seemed good to the potter. He's the one that looked and said there's an imperfection there. Sometimes God looks at us and says, you know what? There's something that's just not right, an imperfection. I noticed that he didn't throw it away. Aren't you thankful tonight? I'm here tonight because God didn't throw me the way. He could have. He could have because I was worthless. You know, I was broken. I was in sin. But instead of throwing me away, he mashed me spiritually, put me back on the wheel, and he molded me and fashioned me and made me into what he wanted me to be. And I'm so thankful for that. And we need to be thankful for that. So he said, and all this time he's telling Jeremiah, watch and see what the potter's doing. I'm going to get you a point across here. I want you to see what the potter's doing. So then he said, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. There's a wonderful story here of second chance. There's a wonderful story of here of the potter's expertise in seeing that the vessel was marred. Many times we can't see that in somebody's life. Sometimes we try to be judgmental and we try to tell people, just get over it. Just put it in the hands of God. We say that. But you know, sometimes putting it in the hands of God means a time of correction. And if we really want to be in the hands of God, we want to be in his hands during deliverance, certainly. We certainly want to be in his hands and in his strength during times of righteousness and the things that David said in strength and defense and safety and guidance, and certainly in the time of compassion. There is no deity that can give you compassion like the Lord can. There's not a person in this earth that can give you the type of love and compassion that Jesus Christ can. And we love all of that part. But if we're going to be in his hands during those times, then we almost also have to be in his hands during the time of correction. And I was thinking of the same thing. In Daddy's hands, there was love. In Daddy's hands, there were peace. In Daddy's hands, there was security, safety, all of those wonderful things. But also in Daddy's hands was correction. Correction when we erred, when we were marred, when we did something that wasn't right. And he had to chastise us and he had to correct us. And thank God that he did, because that was love. We didn't understand it then as much. We thought it was just being mean and whipping us for no reason. But in hindsight, there was a reason. You know, we were like the people that we were just wasn't guilty. We never would admit, would you do that? No, I didn't do that, you know. But knowing that we did. And we can't be that way with God, because God already knows. He knows if there's an imperfection there. He knows if there's a sin there. He knows if we've done something. And we may say, no, Lord, that's not me. But the Lord sees that. And the best thing that we can do is say, Lord, I'm just going to humbly come again, spiritually, to the potter's wheel. And if you have to mash me, that's okay. Many times the Lord has mashed me. Doesn't mean that we're backslidden. Doesn't mean that we're lost the salvation or the righteousness that God has given us. It just means we got out of line. Man, sometimes we do. And the children of Israel had. But God loved them so much, that he sent the prophet down there and he said, you know what? I could do the very same thing to Israel. It's time for them to repent. It's time for them to get their head on straight and begin to worship the Lord, begin to be submissive and obedient again to the statutes and precepts that God had laid in store for us. And I thought about this, and I thought about this in the day and hour that we're living in. And sometimes, you know, God has to put us back on the wheel and make us over again. Sometimes when things get so bad, and I'm talking about as nation. He was not talking about individuals as much as he was talking about the entire nation. And he talked about taking the whole nation of Israel again and making them anew, starting over, if you will. You've heard the term do-over. We've had to have do-overs in our life. And there's times I've had to do-overs, ask the Lord to do-over in my life. So many times when somebody, you know, we just kind of fall by the wayside, or we get caught up in our own desires and try to do the things that are pleasing to us rather than being pleasing unto God. And I see this so much as the nation and the world that you and I are living in. And sometimes things get so bad that the Lord has to step in and say, wait a minute, you're in my hands, you're going to do what I say, and I'm going to make you over, and the finished product this time is going to be perfect. No imperfection. That vessel won't be marred anymore. And that's hard sometimes. That's tough. Because sometimes we have to go down to reach the very bottom until we can get victory. Amen. But how many knows that there is victory in Jesus? Amen. Are you thankful to be in the hands of God? Are you thankful he's in charge? Aren't you thankful he won't throw us away when we make a mistake? He won't discard us or take that lump of clay and said, you worthless piece of clay, and just throw it away? No, he could have done that. But he loved him so much, he took it and he made it again. Sometimes he's had to do that again and again in my life. But that just lets me know that God loves us so very much. And we love you. Amen. Appreciate each and every one of you. God bless you for being here tonight. I just wanted to share that scripture with you. Hope that you receive something from that and know that it is an honor and a blessing to be in the hands of God. But it also is a responsibility. Because if we err, if we do wrong, then God's going to step in, because we're still in his hands and he's going to take care of that situation. If you would stand tonight, amen, we love you so very much, and bow your heads. If you need prayer tonight, understand that this altar is always open. We never close this altar. We'll pray with you. And I, too, want us to remember and we mentioned it earlier, the horrific tragedy that happened in Texas, in that little small town with those precious little children. How it's just inconceivable how that something like that could take place and happen. And I can't even imagine the grief and sorrow and pain that those families are enduring right now. But we talked about God being a God of peace. And if anybody can give them peace, certainly it will be the Lord. And just I pray that he'll wrap his loving arms around them and just give them that comfort that they need. Amen. While your heads are bowed, every eye closed, is there one that would come to the altar? Do you need prayer tonight? If you're sick, if you're afflicted, or if you just want to rededicate your life to the Lord, it's a great opportunity to do so. Amen. Well, all right then. With this prayer, I will be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, that you give us an opportunity to meet together tonight. Thankful, Lord, for your word, God, that you speak to our hearts, God. And we know, Lord, that we can put our faith and trust in you. We know, God, that sometimes we do need to be corrected. And we thank you for the love, God, that you have for us, God, to keep us in your hands. We pray tonight, God, for those who are lost. We pray for those who are sick. Father, we pray a very special prayer for those precious families in Texas, God, who have lost their little children. Father, I pray, God, that you would just give them peace and comfort right now that only you can provide. Father, I ask you now to go with us as we depart. Keep us safe from all harm and danger. We'll give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful and a safe evening. God bless.